You'd be proud of this game, and you can do a great deal for football today. A great deal for all the players and the league and everything else.
Oh, I see him looking. I'm closing.
I was born in it. Molded by it.
Yeah, so they got to wake up with a piss out.
You're talking about Rasul.
Mercedes Lewis here, a.k.a. Big Dog. Big Dog, Big Dog, Big Dog. You're listening to Poor Man's Packers Podcast. Go Pack, go.
Good night, man. I'm so excited. Let's roll.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, the number one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer. Joined, he's back.
I'm back.
Everyone was waiting for him. Andrew, you are back.
The long-awaited return.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, the thousands and millions of fans around the country were begging for you to return.
And I'm here.
And it could be, a bad thing to have you back because you were gone last week. And what happened?
Yeah, we won.
The Green Bay Packers won 28-31 at Lambeau at the... I don't know. Are you feeling better about the season now, Andrew?
You know, I've always said that I'm feeling great about the season, or like I'm always like, oh, we're just about to turn it around.
I guess we haven't talked since losing to the Lions.
And that's the thing. I'm glad I wasn't here last week because I would have been fucking mad at the loss and just like sad. I was like, season's over.
Yes.
I was like, we're going to this game. We're not even have a chance for playoffs. Like, it just fucking sucks.
Yeah. And after last week, because I said, you know, going into the Lions game, we had to win this. And you were like, well, you said that about the Commanders game. And I was like, I was going to say, well, if we lose to the Lions, it's more so you're assuming we lose to the Cowboys. And the fact we went 1-1.
Right. Because we were going to lose the Cowboy game no matter what when we had to beat the Lions. Not no matter what, but you know.
Yeah.
When we had it. Yes, exactly. And that's why I was like, okay, season's over. Because we were going to lose this game.
Yes. And more than anything, this was one of those games. It's one of the best Packer games I can remember in the LaFleur era. Last year we had the Niners game, nice come from behind victory. We had a couple nice little fun ones along the way. But once again, this is why I fucking love football. Are weeks like this, backs up against the wall, we're fucking, what were we, 3-6? Yeah, 3-6 going into this game.
Yep.
Rodgers going up against his old head coach Mike McCarthy. We know it's not the best blood there. I still think Mike McCarthy, you know, left under not the best circumstances. We had to fire him, wasn't great, but just the fucking dramatics going through this game alone, where Rodgers fumbles, we think it's over. Amari fumbles, we think the season's over. What we get to the Christian Watson play that literally changes the season. If we don't convert that fourth down, the season literally is over. We get to close to overtime. We have Mike McCarthy in overtime having his offense drive down the field on a 4th-and-4. He was always conservative with the Packers, especially, you remember 2014, the NFC Championship game. Yet, he goes for it on 4th down against the Packers. Don't convert. We see McCarthy slam his headset. I love football. Once again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. It is soap opera for men. And once again, this game was the perfect summary of that.
The perfect soap opera. I called my dad when they went for it. I was like, McCarthy doesn't do this.
Yes.
Like, what is he doing? You know, but to your point of loving football, yeah, but this game specifically, it was like that whole last 30 minutes of watch time was like, this is the best game. I've been excited because it means it's not only is it our playoffs, but is it a come from behind win against an old coach? It was just so fucking cool.
Again, the Cowboys were like, I forgot what the actual number was, but it was like 180 something and zero in entering the fourth quarter, up 14 points.
Yeah.
And of course, the game where they blow it is McCarthy versus Rodgers when everything's on the line, blah, blah, blah.
Did you already say how he threw his headset?
Yes.
I loved that. Yes. Loved watching
reminiscent
that.
Of, you know, he's had some other sideline things, brought me back to the Cardinals loss in the playoffs where he fell to his knees in overtime.
Okay.
But yes, either way, very fun. I love football. I love the drama and weird. Not dead yet, but
not dead yet.
This episode, it should be more fun. I've thought of that too, like putting shit together. It's like, man, these are a lot easier when it's not a loss. Having to talk about a Packers
it's been a
loss.
Bit, right?
Yes, it's been a bit, but yeah, we'll have the normal episode. We'll have our Lynn Lake Brewing pick six of the week, the six plays that shaped the game. We'll have our offense breakdown, defense breakdown. We'll have Take News talking about, you know, there's a couple of quotes after the game from Aaron Rodgers. So we'll talk about his leadership and some of the stupid reports going on about him losing the locker room or whatever. We'll have Is Kyle an Idiot? What? Some Packers trivia. And we will, of course, preview the Titans game, which you and I will be going to.
We will be. And
Nope.
I am very excited to go.
There you go. Good job. Good job, Andrew.
Yes, thank you.
And with that, we will have Pick Six. All right, our first Lynn Lake Brewing Pick Six play of the week. You weren't there last week, but Billy and I did go to Lynn Lake for the Lions game.
Oh, yeah.
So we've had some bad mojo, but God, again, I wish we would win the games that we go there because, again, it was a perfect freaking atmosphere to watch the Packer game. No idiots.
Nice.
No one yelling over
even
the TV.
You behaved even, this
even
time.
Even me, yeah. I didn't talk shit about nice. People standing for the uh-huh. British Pledge of Allegiance or whatever the hell it was for the Giants game. But yes, Lynn Lake Brewing in Uptown Minneapolis. If you're looking for a place to drink some beer or just watch the Packer game on Sundays or Thursdays or Mondays, head there. Anyways, the first pick six play of the game. Obviously, not too hard to come up with these are going to be, but the first Rudy Ford pick, pretty big play. Rodgers had just fumbled. It's already 7-0, and on third down, Rudy Ford, who, filling in for Darnell Savage, they kind of did the swap in this game. We signed Jonathan Abram last week, so we had a little bit more depth. At least that is what what Joe Barry's going with for why the situation, why the substitution happened. But Rudy Ford jumps in front of the ball, returns it to the 35, and that drive led to the first Christian Watson touchdown, making it 7-7. But that turnover,
which you would say was a 10-point swing, right? Because they were in the red zone.
Minimum, yes.
Right,
it was a
minimum
10-point swing. But yes, right. Either way, getting that stop in the red zone, which has happened a lot the last couple of weeks
crazy
for the Packers.
Nice, yeah.
Yeah, very, very good to see that. Moving on, the second pick six play. Guess what? Just happens to be the next Rudy Ford INT. Tie game. It was 3rd and 10 on the 45. For whatever reason, once again, Dak just loves throwing picks, doesn't play too well against the Green Bay Packers, throws another pick, and Rudy Ford returns it to the Cowboy 23-yard line. That drive ended for the Packers with the Aaron Jones touchdown. But once again, we've had this kind of bugaboo over the team for the last few years, too, where we're not great on scoring after turnovers, especially the 2020 NFC Championship game where Brady just kept giving the defense the ball.
Yeah.
I don't think we had any points off of those turnovers, but once again, in a game that mattered, we were able to convert these turnovers into points, which was very nice to see. Also, that Aaron Jones touchdown was pretty cool as well.
Oh, it was nice. He was excited, to jump in the end zone with that little twirl.
Yes. We'll obviously talk about Christian Watson later, but it was a very good celebration game. We had the Christian Watson flip. We had the Aaron Jones, Marshawn Lynch, grab my dick. And we had Christian Watson's first Lambeau leap, and then he hit for his third touchdown, obviously
counted,
like Devontae pointing at the defenders back in the day for how many guys were on him, but obviously counting the touchdowns. Very nice to see that, a little bit more swagger for this Packers team. The third pick six game, or pick six play, something bad to talk about. The Amari Rodgers fumble. After already double catching a punt earlier in the game, and after LaFleur correctly played the field position game, we had like a 4th and 4, decided to punt it. We pinned them. Cowboys didn't do anything, and they had a punt from their own end zone, thinking we're going to get the ball at least at the 50-yard line. But no, Amari Rodgers catches it, runs forward, and fumbles it right at the 40. Pissed it away. Any competent returner would have had a nice return there, too. And obviously, the news today, we cut Amari. Andrew, what do you have to say?
I was going to say, I know I'm too late with this suggestion, but I had planned. I just obviously learned the news today, too, about Amari. They did not tell me ahead of time, but I was going to say to you that you could just cut out that part of what you say about him every week and basically just repeat it so you don't have to waste the time saying Amari Rodgers got the ball, Amari Rodgers fumbled the ball, because it is literally the exact same thing week in and week out. Basically, you're
like,
just re-recording the same sentence.
Yeah, it's like every other, and everyone's seen the stat now too. He had 8 career catches with the Packers, 7 fumbles this season. He has more fumbles than every other non-quarterback in the league. Like, he literally,
that's insane,
more than any other running back, wide receiver. Pretty crazy. But yes, we did end up cutting him today. A little bit surprised. Cut him and Kylan Hill. Kylan Hill was probably the bigger surprise. He had a really, really good training camp last year. He had one run this year for 7 yards, but there's been a lot of talk for how dynamic he was. Cut him. I did say when we cut him to, it must be a character thing, and it does sound like that. Matt LaFleur, for the first time ever, pretty much confirmed that they cut him for off the field issues. So I don't know if it was just him being unhappy for
it. It wasn't
being
pretty much. It was very clear when he said, is this a football thing or a non-football thing? It's like, yeah, I guess you could say it's a non-football thing.
Yeah. And with Amari not doing well on special teams, I think Kylan Hill was probably getting a little eager about getting on the field after coming back from the injury. Anyways, doesn't matter. Amari's gone. Kind of feel bad. Sounds like he's a good guy, tried hard, all that good stuff. But God, at this point, he lost us one game in Washington, almost lost us another one against the Cowboys. So we had to do that. We did sign D.D. Westbrook today, too, former Jaguar, who is a punt and kick returner. He might play this week, maybe not, but we will see.
I'm on Twitter, and I'm seeing people who are like saying how sad it is that Amari Rodgers lost his job.
Yeah.
Now, look, is it a bummer? Is it a bummer that someone who loves the game of football is no longer playing a professional sport? Sure.
Yes.
But is it a bummer that you're not playing a professional sport? Like it doesn't, just because you love doing something doesn't mean you deserve to do it if you are bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a professional thing. As if any organization, company, it doesn't matter.
So I know what you're saying, but there's guys like Kylan Hill who seems, you know, he did something here. There was Jay Sternberger, who was another third.
This guy did
pick.
Everything in his power to be better and do better, and he just can't.
Yes. And it's just, you know, this has been this guy's life since he was fucking 5 years old. His dad's a coach. We talked about that. He's been very good in high school, college, not the pros. So it's sad to see probably that part of his career, his life, ending.
Everything he knows.
He sent voice messages to every receiver on the Packers thanking them for what
they... Are you kidding?
No.
Okay, so he is genuinely... God damn. Yeah. Okay, I feel... You know what? Then yeah.
It's weird how...
When you learn more about a topic, you can understand more about it, huh?
And I hate Amari more than anyone, but yes, it's...
You hate his play.
Well, it's like fucking Rich Bisacci yesterday, the special teams coordinator. He said he really likes Amari and blah, blah, blah. He's like, but 8 just keeps fumbling the ball too much. Jersey number 8 keeps fumbling ball too much. It's like, Rich, it's not the jersey's fault.
Right.
It's the fucking guy.
We should change his number.
Yes, that was the issue. But yes, after that, it was a tie game there. After Amari fumbled, it led to a 21-14 score. Moving on to the fourth pick six play. After the defense gives up 2 touchdowns, like I said, it is now 28-14. It is the fourth quarter, one of the first plays in the fourth quarter. And the play of the season so far, the play that will probably define the season, no matter which way it goes, it'll either be the first offensive play of the season against the Vikings or this one on a 4th and 7. Rodgers obviously drops back, hits Watson deep, little crossing route, just outran a couple dudes, catches the ball, holds on to it, runs in, and it is now 21-28. He doesn't catch that ball. Season's over, turnover on downs, he does, and we're within 1 score.
And not only that, like, I'm shocked, not that they went for it, like you said, that makes sense, but to go for it for a 60-yard bomb, right, or a 40-yard bomb, whatever they try to do, it's like, you know, because if he doesn't catch that ball, I'm screaming, okay, yeah, he had one catch, who cares, he's dropped 3 balls, do a slant for 8 yards and continue the season, man. You put it all on the line right there. Obviously, we're pumped because that's what we've seen for Rodgers in previous years.
Yes.
But this year, we haven't seen that excitement and that gameplay. So I wasn't a believer until he actually had a football, you know, like a classified catch.
Yeah.
I was pumped and screaming at the TV in a positive way. But before that, I was like, what are you risking this for?
Yeah. And
give
me
hope.
That's
for 13 more
minutes.
That's
always been a Rodgers thing, though. It's the classic 3rd and 1, 3rd and 2. Rodgers drops back and bombs it deep to Jordy or someone, and it's incomplete. Like, this has always been a thing. Maybe other quarterbacks do this too, but I mean, at least Christian Watson finally turned it on, and it was such a like low ball, like more of a, you know, he whipped it in there, a bullet rather than lobbing it up, where it's like, I didn't really have the time to react to like, why are we going this deep?
Right.
Either way, it worked out pretty well. Moving on. So, you know, after that, defense holds again. Packers get another touchdown, tie ball game, going to OT. Not a very good possession from the Packers to force it. The fifth pick six play, after winning the coin toss, the Cowboys get the ball, march right down the field because Joe Barry is the defensive coordinator. But the fourth down play, penalty had already knocked them back, so it's a 4th and 4. Dak drops back to pass, tries to run up in the pocket, but someone who finally had a decent game, Jerron Reed, starts forcing him down. Watson. Prescott gets it off right while he's going to the ground, and it goes through Pollard's hands. Falls to the ground, turnover on downs. Packers have new life.
So were they in field goal range?
They were.
Like, it would have been a long.
But it would have been a very long field goal attempt. Okay. And we saw Mason and how he did, I believe, on that end of the field to start the game, too. And he was short, but
okay.
He's banged up, too. But, yeah, kind of. I think, especially fourth and four, if it were, like, long, you wouldn't go for it. But
right. And that's what I was kind of wondering there. Like, do you ever kick that ball just to get the field goal? But then if you miss, you're putting Pack in really good field position, exactly. Of course. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, after that. Packers obviously get the ball back, 6 minutes left in the game, and the play that sealed it, the Lazard play, great way to end it. Nice little play action. Rodgers takes a snap, fakes it to Jones out of shotgun. Lazard pretends like he's blocking. Watson goes out for a little swing pass, but then Lazard just runs up, and my God, he runs it. He catches it, runs it down to the 20. We're in field goal range. Everything looks good. I don't think Alan Lazard has ever looked faster than he has on that. Like, he outran people, which doesn't really happen.
But this was the first time, not first time, I guess, but like even watching this game, when we were going in the fourth quarter down by 14, I was like excited to see football that still mattered. But I, for the first time, was like, okay, kind of realizing the season was probably done.
Right. And again, that's kind of why I enjoy seasons like this, because everything, literally every game here on out matters.
Right. And that... It's funny because first part of going to this Titans game that we're going to is like, oh, we're going to blow out the Titans. It's going to be stupid. And then 2 weeks ago, I'm like, oh, the Titans are going to kick our ass. It doesn't even matter. It's worthless. And now it's like, shit, we got a playoffs, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
Thank God we won this game, because, yes, it's almost like a playoff game. And of course, I've said this to you numerous times now, but, you know, our friend group, we just had to buy these fucking tickets 6 weeks ago. When they were at peak pricing, when the Packers still had a winning record, I think we were 2-1 at the time.
Yep.
Now I was like, why didn't we just buy the tickets? Because it's a Thursday game.
I'm an unrealistic idiot, and I'm like, oh, Packers are going to be, you know, 8-1 at this point in time. So we got to get tickets ASAP.
Yes, I know. I digress.
People are going to be flying in from Texas to see this game.
Yes, after the Cowboys game last week.
Yeah, because they're such big fans from watching them.
Anyways, so that was the pick six. That was the game. Once again, Packers won 31-28. Moving on to the offense. Hard not to be happy about this offense. It's funny because, you know, we're dumb fans, but it's like, yes, this is the offense I wanted all along. Why didn't you guys just do this all year? The Packers ran it 39 times. They had 20 pass attempts that Rodgers had, and 11 of them were from play action. So that just shows you, again, one of the big things that Matt LaFleur pushed or pressed, brought up a lot when he was hired on, is how the run sets up the pass. You're looking at it here, 39 runs, and then 11 of the passes pretended like they were runs.
Did you see, I think it was an announcer said it during the game, probably one of the only times in Aaron Rodgers' career that we've seen him like get upset because they chose to pass instead of run out the clock or take a run play.
That was really weird at the end of regulation.
When they did pass. Even. Yeah,
it was a weird little thing too, because usually Rodgers runs the 2-minute drill, but they decided not to do that for this game. And it seemed like a good time for Rodgers to get on LaFleur. I don't know. I guess we should have ran it in 3rd and 1, but it doesn't even sound like that's what Rodgers was trying to do. So whatever. We'll never really know. But yeah. Either way, like you're saying there too, very strange that Rodgers only had 7 attempts in the first half, and this game was scoreless in the first quarter, which is pretty remarkable when you see the final score too. But yeah, either way, very happy to see at least some type of idea, especially now with it getting cold. You know, it snowed in Green Bay today. It snowed here in the Twin Cities the last 2 days. So getting the ground game going here, especially with more Lambeau games coming up, is getting more and more important.
Huge.
Moving on, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, pretty solid game. Looked like Aaron Rodgers again, 14 for 20, 224 yards, the 3 touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 146, which is pretty good. Was only sacked the 2 times.
Does that account for blocks as well?
Yeah, that's right. God, and we don't need to go into this too much, but we always watch the highlights before we record just to, yes, that's right. I want to visualize this all before we start talking. And they literally showed 2 of the Cowboys' touchdowns twice. They don't edit these very well.
It's awful.
Go back and watch. You see the 2 of the CeeDee Lamb touchdowns twice. They don't show the Rudy Ford pick, the first one, and they don't show the Aaron Rodgers block run, which were pretty big plays.
And that, not only that, once the Cowboys recover a fumble in their own in the red zone, they don't show them go three and out and then and then throw an interception. Or two and out, two plays that are just duds and then interception. They just like haul over important stuff. Interceptions are game changing.
It was very strange. Anyways, back to the game. Again, almost forgot about the Rodgers fumble early on. That was pretty big. Stepping up in the pocket. Didn't know what was going on there. He has shown off his legs a lot more the last couple of weeks. He ran for a first down in this game, ran for a couple last week. And like we talked about already too, the block. Was
that got me so excited to see him have as much emotion and care into the on the field again.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. And we'll talk about that later on with Take News too. But yeah, it's and not only that, but the other long Jones run too, where he did the circle spin move. Rodgers was like chasing him down like David Bakhtiari a couple of years ago running down the sideline. So nice to see that. Either way, more good than bad. The only real after the game, Rodgers said that every ball he threw pretty much went where he wanted. The only bad ball I could remember was that 3rd and 7 late in the game, which was the 4th and 7 that Christian Watson.
Was a statement now that we're on Rodgers that I didn't hear it. I just saw it typed. So I don't know if it was misrepresented, but did someone ask him like how he felt about the rest of the season? And he said something like, you got to remember I'm the 2-time reigning MVP. Like we're good. We're fine.
I don't know
what the context was behind it, but I was browsing like Reddit, like Green Bay or something, and I feel like I saw that out there, but I don't know what it was from.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I'm not sure.
Okay.
There's been a couple. There's this one guy in the pressers, Kyle something. I think he's a local news guy. I'm sure he's a good guy, but God, he asks some stupid fucking questions. Rodgers is starting to like answer, like literally say his question was bad and then answer a different question that's related to his question. Anyways, I digress. I'm too critical on the B guys. Moving on to the running backs. Aaron Jones, obviously the run game is fucking spectacular. They average 5.3 yards a carry. Aaron Jones, 24 carries, 138 yards, the one touchdown. A.J. Dillon looked like A.J. Dillon again, 13 carries, 65 yards, a 5.0 average. Pretty damn good. Couple things with Aaron Jones in this game. Felt like one of the few times that refs actually saw him get face masked. He seems to be the one guy that they always miss it with, but this week they finally actually counted the ones that he had. The touchdown run was really fun, obviously seeing the Marshawn Lynch hold my dick. Pretty cool. Celebration was fun, and even seeing Alan Lazard fall to his knees like in shock for how great the play was. And then in the second quarter, this is something I kind of talked about at the beginning too, but just like football. I love football, and there's always this thing with me and like the football gods that are deciding things. And we haven't had the football gods on our side all year long. It's been, you know, a couple bad penalty calls, a couple fumbles, a couple balls that didn't bounce our way. Aaron Jones had that run late in the game. I think it was a 3rd or 4th quarter, the spin move one, where at the very end, he fumbles. We've had a lot of plays like that this year where it's positive and then negative. Again, that could have ended the season, but the ball bounced right. All Cowboys guys there, but it bounced right back into Aaron Jones, you know, in his lap. In the second quarter of this game, we had that special teams, the kickoff, the squib kick, where the Cowboys reserve tight end fumbled it. That ball bounced. There was a bunch of Packers there, bounced right into his chest, too. I'm thinking that Aaron Jones fumble that bounced right back in his tummy, that we've got the football gods on our side. We saw the fucking Vikings-Bills game. That was the football gods were on the Vikings side. You know, the Justin Jefferson catch, the fumble bounces, Josh Allen forgetting how to, one, throw the ball in the red zone, and two, take a snap in his own end zone. But I'm starting to feel like we're getting that mojo again.
Well, maybe it's not just like a good season in that we're going to win out, but a good season that's going to, for dramatic effect, have a great comeback. You know, like any good movie, it's not just like, hey, superhero wins, goes to bed.
Yeah.
It's superhero might lose, comes back, wins, goes to bed with the girl.
The redemption arc, yes, of course. And again, we've been saying it the last few weeks, the Aaron Jones pitch out of shotgun is the best run out of shotgun. It literally either goes for 5+ yards or it gets sniffed out in the backfield, which the Cowboys did on the last time that they ran it. But not too much else to really talk about with them. I mean, A.J. Dillon, great game too. We'll see what he does going forward, but he's looking like he's running behind his pads again. He had that one run straight up the middle where he just ran through a couple tackles. That's the kind of shit we want to see where he just uses the weight that he has behind him. Moving on to the wide receivers. We obviously talked about him earlier, but this was the Christian Watson game. four receptions, 107 yards, three touchdown, had the long of 58 where he caught it, you know, had to find it up in the air over his shoulder, caught it, ran in for the touchdown. I was like, holy shit, maybe we have something here. Did the backflip. Vibes are good. It's literally, you know, I said earlier in the year that this season's going to depend on Romeo Dubs just because Christian Watson hadn't done much. Usually with rookies, when they're hurt, they don't contribute too much. But God, this game obviously just broke that open. He had back-to-back drops to start the game, had the 58-yarder, and you said you liked Greg Olsen before.
We talked about
this earlier, too. After Christian Watson's 58-yard touchdown, his first touchdown reception of his career, Greg Olsen, the philosopher that he has, said, that might be the biggest catch of this young receiver's career. Greg, no fucking shit.
Dude's played 8 games, and every single season or every single game so far, he's like had huge drops or been hurt. So yep.
And that's one of the reasons too. I don't like Kevin Burkhardt. Greg Olsen, he's fine for the most part. I don't mind him. But I don't really like them as a crew that much. They started doing this last week. If you go on Packers.com now on a desktop, and even if you're out of state, you can live stream the Packers coverage. So I watched this game on YouTube TV. All I did was, you know, play the Packers radio, time it up on YouTube, have to pause a couple times to sync it right, and fuck, that was awesome hearing Wayne Larrivee and Larry McCarron break down the game.
Great. Side question. Mm-hmm. Who is our number one receiver? Like, in our depth chart, do you know, like, the factual one they list? Is it just we have three quality number 2.5s?
It does not matter. Okay. I have no idea. We have different roles. We have an X, Y, and whatever. You know, we got the guy in the slot out wide and all that.
I'm asking, like, if there's a cornerback one on a defense, who are they saying, okay, you should line up here? Or is it all just, again, different X, Y, O's?
Every X, Y, O's.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Every team is different the way that they attack an opposing offense or defense. Okay. So it does. I mean, you know,
some weeks it might be Watson, some of it might be Watkins.
If you were a fan of a different team going into a Packer game, you're like, oh, Jair is going to follow, you know, CeeDee Lamb. It's like, no, that's not the case. It does depend. But yeah, I mean, the Christian Watson game, we're going to have to see what this guy turns to. He is so fucking fast. That's literally the biggest thing with him. If he can stay healthy and if he can catch half of the balls.
Well, that's exactly what he got. 4 for 8. It's not even like he went 4 for 5. I mean, he still has some drops.
He changes the offense completely. Before him, you know, before this game he had, every defense we go up against could do whatever the hell they want in the back end, in the secondary. Every safety, you know, they'd never have to really step back. If you're stepping back, you're backtracking for Alan Lazard or maybe Romeo Dubs. But now you've got this guy that you literally have to think about every time he's on the field. Dusty Evely on Twitter. He's great. Follow him. So he broke it down after Ross Uglum, who covers NDSU and also covers the Packers, brought it up wondering how successful the Packers offense is with and without Christian Watson. So CWD, the Christian Watson drives, Packers get 1.9 points every drive Christian Watson is on the field. On non-Christian Watson drives, 1.24. So that's a difference in 0.66 points, which you don't think is that much. But per drive, you think of how many drives you have a game. You have at least 7. That's a whole touchdown, you know. Well
just think
7,
of it as points. It's about 30% more points at the end of the day.
I should have said 10. You got at least 10 drives a game. That's another touchdown per game.
That's a third of your points being scored or not scored. And like you said, it's not obviously attributing all of those points to Watson. It's defenses planning around him and then opening up your run game or other receivers or what have you.
Yes. So we'll see. He had that nice little catch on 3rd and 2 that was probably, well, not the most difficult, but a very difficult one as well. But he showed that range, which we haven't seen from a lot
not
of
just bombs. Right.
Yep. Alan Lazard, like you said, pretty good game too. I mean, he didn't do much.
I think he had like 3 catches, 3 or 4.
Yeah, 3 or 4 catches, but they were all very important. Obviously, the near touchdown at the end of the game, but he also had a couple nice ones late. Either way, he's a great blocking receiver. Everyone knows that. Sammy Watkins, this is the type of game that I like to see out of Sammy Watkins. Didn't do much. He had the 3 receptions, but I believe all of them were for a first down, except for the one where he literally ran backwards and didn't get the first.
Yeah. Well.
But his first drive on 2nd and 22 was awesome. Two balls that he caught, the long ones, were like right in his gut and just dropped right down. It's like, perfect. Get first downs. don't mess up, and I'm fine with whatever you do.
I like how you, even though Sammy Watkins was number two on the chart, you brought him in number three just because you do not like him that much. I know you don't dislike, hate him, but like I'm always high on Sammy, and I just think it's fun. I'm just putting fun at the concept of it. Yeah.
Importance of the game, I think Alan Lazard.
Of course, the game definitely, definitely, yes.
But yeah, that's it for wide receivers. Tight ends, not too much to talk about. You know, Tunyon had a couple catches. I still like seeing DeGuara out there, big dog being big dog. He had the one catch and lost a yard, so no big deal. The offensive line, this was the first game all season where the five preferred starters played every single snap. It was week 10, so that just lets you know how dysfunctional this group, this offense has been. It kind of starts from there and moves back. We've seen what happened at wide receiver too, so it's nice to get some consistency going on here. So once again, it was David Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Runyon, and then Yosh on the far end. But yeah, only two sacks given up. Elton Jenkins gave that one sack up pretty much off the snap on third down. That was really bad.
Well, one of them, didn't Rodgers kind of move up a little bit? Like, he was thinking about running.
Right.
So it's tough to attribute that because he could have, Oh, okay, that was a fumble, not a sack. Okay.
Yeah, so either way, great game from everyone overall. Rodgers said today, too, on McAfee or at his locker, that Josh Myers and Runyon each had, like, the best games of their season.
Okay.
And Yosh had a really great game as well. And he's really starting to cement himself as that right tackle, which will be good for us this year and next year because he'll be back on a cheap deal. But God, a guy who in 2019 was an undrafted free agent and an afterthought after being on the Packers roster for a year or two is now going to turn to a guy who's going to be a multimillionaire for, you know, putting in the work after being just an athletic specimen. Pretty cool to see that. But yeah, I don't know. That's about it for the game. Feel a little bit better about David Bakhtiari too. Offense looks like offense. Andrew, you got anything else?
Not on the offense.
Okay, perfect. Well, with that, we will have a quick commercial break. All right, and we are back with the defense. Still don't feel very good about the defense. Not a good game, but not a terrible one, I guess. You know, they really did hold up when it mattered, like the last two drives of regulation and then OT. But man, that last drive of the first half, at least we picked to have the bad half, the first half, or the bad drive, because that one to end the half was an absolute embarrassment. I still don't trust this defense, especially the run game. I mean, every time they ran a draw with Pollard, it seemed to get at least 8 yards, which is not good, especially when we're going up against Derrick Henry this week. The Cowboys were only 5 for 15 on third down, but it felt worse for some reason. I don't know why. It seemed like every third down they were getting, and then they were 2 for 3 on fourth down. So at least we're, I don't know. Once again, the time it really mattered, we held up. I still don't like that the Dak Prescott sneak. I thought his momentum had stopped, but it was a little ticky-tack. It was a bad spot.
Oh, how they gave it to him?
Yeah.
Yeah, I could have gone either way.
Right. Moving on to the defensive backs, Jair Alexander, pretty solid game overall. He had the flag a couple of weeks ago where he threw the guy out of bounds and put his hand up to his ear. Nice to see him get to the sideline, walk someone out, and then not do anything. That was nice to see that growth from him. He did take blame for that long Lamb touchdown, so even though Darnell Savage looked to be the one who was the issue there, that was one of the few plays where it wasn't him on a deep play. He did have a couple, Jair had a couple big breakups. He had the third down towards the end of regulation and then the fourth down in OT. Nice to see that. Rasul Douglas still having an okay year, obviously not the, you know, come to Jesus, whatever type season he had last year where he seemed to get a pick just about every week. But overall, more good than bad. He seems to be a guy who gets a lot of penalties. Again, this week he had another one. Moving on to safety, we can talk about the whole Rudy Ford, Darnell Savage thing again. Rudy Ford, his first game starting at safety for Darnell Savage. Savage got moved to the slot. It wasn't the entire game. They did switch back a little bit, but obviously, early returns are pretty fucking good. The only negative play I can remember Rudy Ford making was on the goal line, that first touchdown where he kind of whiffed. Him and Amos both missed CeeDee Lamb there. But I don't know. People are very, very optimistic on it. Darnell Savage still didn't have a very good game. A few missed tackles, a few blown coverages. But I don't know, some progress at least.
Are people more optimistic about Rudy or about Savage moving to his position?
Mostly Rudy. It's hard not to.
Right. With two picks. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't have another interception the rest of the year. But
it's one of those things. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to see, you know, shades of Atari Bigbee in the secondary. Sure. Number 20 at the safety position. The other thing to talk about, we mentioned it earlier, but the Packers claimed Jonathan Abram last week to give us a little bit of depth, but he did seem to help out in this game. He's a knucklehead, so he had one or two penalties called on him. One of them was the offsetting penalties for talking shit. But multiple guys said this after the game. Rasul Douglas was one of them. There's some pictures after the game, too, walking into the tunnel where Abram, who just joined this team, has his arms around David Bakhtiari, you know, the franchise left tackle. When the Packers were down 14-0, Abram was walking down the sideline saying, "We're winning this game. We're winning this game. We're going to win by a field goal."
Wait, what?
And he was right. He's a guy who was just playing with the Raiders all season, hasn't had a very good career, joins the Packers who are in a rough spot. They're down bad. And he's like, "Fuck it. Can we get this together and win the game?" And I think Rasul Douglas said they literally needed someone to do that. So if nothing else, claiming a dude off the streets, already
a pump up guy. I don't care if he doesn't play at all. If he's boosting someone who just got, you know, torn up, good.
Yeah.
Let him at it.
He got the penalty for, you know, extracurriculars, but I'm glad he's talking on the sideline to a lot of guys. Well,
when you say he's a knucklehead, I thought you were going to say something like he's all kind of weird.
I don't know.
If he's just a knucklehead being goofy and optimistic, fucking knuckle it up, buddy.
Well, he cost us 15 yards during the game, but I remember he was on Hard Knocks that Raiders year too, and I was like, I don't know if I like this guy, but whatever. I don't know him at all.
Well, now that he's a Packer,
Number 44.
Fucking best.
A good 44, not Ty Summers. Inside linebacker, not too much to talk about. Quay's been slowly getting better. McDuffie, who was a late round pick last year, I really like him. It's great that we have him and Chris Barnes as reserve inside linebackers when we've got four guys on this roster now that are better than Blake Martinez, maybe, who just retired this past week. So shout out to Blake. But I don't know, slowly getting better. I'd like to see, it's going to be a big game for Quay going up against the Titans with Tannehill, who runs quite a bit. He had a long rushing touchdown against us last year or the year before. But having Quay, a more athletic guy in the middle who can spy, will be interesting to see. Outside linebacker in this game, not too much to talk about. We really didn't, we knew there would be issues with the pass rush with Rashawn Gary going down with that torn ACL. Didn't get a lot of pressure, but we didn't really mess up either. Shout out to Jonathan Garvin. You watch Garvin play, and he doesn't look like a very good player. But I think every game where he's had a decent amount of snaps, like 20 snaps, he's had either a QB knockdown or he had his second pass defended of the season in this game. And if nothing else, I think he's so slow that he sets the edge. You know, we've talked about Rashawn Gary and JJ Anagbari rushing so far out or going to the quarterback that they lose containment. Garvin, it doesn't seem possible because he doesn't really move off the line of scrimmage. So I like seeing that. Defensive line, not too much to talk about. Jerron Reed, nice to see him actually contribute to this team. He had six pressures, I believe, and the quarterback hit late on that fourth down. Special teams, I don't know how much I want to talk about this. I thought Bill Huber summed it up pretty well in his piece after the game. This is what he wrote. On the first play of special teams, Dallas Cavante Turpin almost returned the opening kickoff for a touchdown. On the second play, Amari bobbled the punt before controlling the ball. On the third play, Mason Crosby was short on a 54-yard field goal attempt. In the third quarter, Rodgers fumbled a punt that the Cowboys recovered, eliminating a Green Bay scoring opportunity and handing Dallas a touchdown. I've said it all season, Rich Bisaccia, I really don't think he's that much better of a coordinator than Maurice Drayton. We just have Rudy Ford, Keyshawn Nixon, Lovett, all these guys who have always been special teams contributors. And now we have Dede Westbrook, who's going to probably fix the punting or kick return situation. So I don't know. We made him the highest paid special teams coordinator in the league. And I don't know if we're getting the return on that quite yet. If nothing else, I like that we have that presence in the locker room with Rich Bisaccia, who's a better Like, he's more Mike McCarthy than LaFleur is. Like, he's more of a motivator. LaFleur, you know, he got very emotional after the game, too. I don't know if you saw that. He cried a little bit. He said that he had to gather himself before addressing the team in the locker room.
Did he say why? Just, like, because of the amazing game? Or?
Oh, because it was because the season's been so bad.
It's, okay, and finally he's like, we're who we are.
This was a five-game losing streak we're getting off of. When do you think the last time was the Packers had a five-game losing streak?
I was the 70s.
I believe it was 2008. This was the first time since George Bush was president.
Oh, yeah. Okay, it's gonna have a five-game losing streak. Maybe 2005.
No, I'm telling you, it's 2008
for sure. Yeah, yes. Okay.
So there you go. But yeah,
maybe you're wrong.
Special teams not so good. Packers much better. With that, that's it for the game. We will have take news.
Football time. Take news.
So, take news for the week. After a very tumultuous last month or so for the Green Bay Packers, everything was going pretty bad. I don't know if you guys remember the mindset everyone was in, but there were actual conversations, actual discourse on Twitter, on social media, people wondering if we should move on to Jordan Love had Aaron Rodgers lost the locker room. Yeah, that was one thing. So, we'll get into that. Andrew's reacting with his face, not his mouth, which is great for podcasting.
Yeah, I want to let you talk a little bit too, but not overreact. But I'm a loser who sits on Reddit too
very
much.
Good. Yes, great.
And I fucking hate people's tank the season, bro. Yeah. I still like to watch football.
Right.
I still like to see my favorite team win.
Yes.
So I get into pointless arguments
yes.
with these fuckers saying I don't want to see scrubs play. If I want to watch college ball yes. against NFL ball, I'll do that.
Yes. And we talked about that last week a bit too. I'd be fine with like starting Jordan Love the last few games if we were eliminated, but it's fucking November right now. We're not even halfway through it, and you're talking about anyways.
As long as there's still a shot or a resemblance yes. of a shot, you are playing exactly. your heart out.
Exactly. When you're paying Aaron Rodgers $150 million to play quarterback, there's no point in turning Jordan Love. Anyways, so...
People are idiots.
Yes, 100%. So, this week, one of the parts, I guess this week and last week, one of the parts of the whole Jordan Love talk was Rodgers' leadership skills, how he's playing, and we'll get to the report after, but I thought this quote was very interesting after the game. Aaron Rodgers is one of three captains on offense. It's him, Aaron Jones, and Big Dog, Mercedes Lewis, and this was a question asked by Matt Schneidman in the postgame presser, and Aaron Rodgers' answer.
Maybe I'm projecting here, but I can't imagine maybe. For Christian, at least, not on you. I can't imagine it's easy for a 22, 23-year-old kid to be a second-round pick and come in with what you guys lost at receiver and maybe the expectations that were placed on him. Are there any conversations that you two have had, even dating back to the summer, that stood out that maybe let you know he was built different? I don't know if that's a cliche. Anything that stands out and impressed you about how he's handled these past couple months and everything he's been through?
I don't know if I can point to one specific thing. I will say he's always been... guy who asks really good questions, and you can tell he cares about it. I think there's times where all of us can relate to being really hard on ourselves, and I think him and Rome both can go through stretches where they get really down on themselves. And I think as a leader, I've alerted Jonesy and Big Dog over the season to make sure we keep an eye on those guys, because there's so much talent and opportunity there. But sometimes when they're a little hard on themselves, it might detract from the possibilities of a night like tonight.
So, Andrew, that's the first time you've seen that. What are your thoughts on what Rodgers said there? This is right after the game.
Yeah, I think it was great. I don't think there's anything wrong or in poor leadership. If anyone watches that and says, oh, he's being a bad leader, they're dumb.
Well, I would push back on that,
because
there was part of it that was pretty weird. And I remember after I'm a loser, after the game, I was watching this live, and it's weird how he said that he alerted Mercedes and Aaron Jones that, you know, these guys that Romeo Doubs and Christian Watson are going to need a little more care. But he said we need to, but it sounded like he was almost delegating the task to Aaron Jones and Mercedes Lewis to watch them, and not so much Aaron Rodgers. Now, I might be diving into it.
But hang on.
Much.
Is that not okay? And let me backtrack here. I'm going to just listen.
Why couldn't he do it himself?
Dude's busy. He's the main leader in command, right? He's got a lot of stuff going on. Maybe there's other players that need him to be there for him too, you know?
I mean, this I'm a Rodgers apologist, but okay. You're the quarterback, the unquestioned leader of this football team, and you need to have other players talk
first
to
and foremost,
other
he
players.
Said we all have to do this. So if you guys see it, look, I'm going to take it back to something you can both relate to. It's probably 90% of people can. You've ever worked in a restaurant. Yeah. There's a manager, there's assistant managers. You got people who are new. Let's say there's a new host.
I think people, yes.
And you say, look, buddy, I'm gonna be busy behind the bar. If you see the host struggling, you walk over her
Rodgers
and you
busy?
Help her out.
Did anything he said there make you think he's busy?
Not busy. I'm just saying he's working on other issues. He's watching the game. I don't know. Maybe more help than just one person tagging on saying it's going to be okay. Other leaders and big people, other people that you look up to as big NFL names.
Sure.
Big Dog and Aaron Jones, number three in rushing in the NFL, whatever. Those people coming to you, besides just the guy throwing you the ball, is going to help.
Yeah. Sure. But it's one of those things where it's like, Matt, I believe, asked there, like, was there a moment when you went to him or, you know, talked to him? And it's like off the field, you know, during the week. And we haven't really gotten an example of that.
Right.
But we were told that Rodgers said something to him on the sideline, which was, hey, we're going to keep going to you. That's pretty good. But I thought that was a little strange.
You think he's eluding the question, like he's not doing much through the week with the team?
Not exactly that. It's just, why didn't you just say, you know, I've been watching or I've been helping out, instead of you're saying, like, I told these other guys to watch them? It's like, Aaron, you can do that yourself. So that's what I'm saying. Either way, whatever. Just a little piece of it. The other part that I want to bring up, you know me, I hate bad reporting. I hate fake ass beat reporters. And once again, that came into play this week. So, you know, there I got on Rodgers a little bit, some of his leadership stuff. Sure. We see the shit on the sideline. We saw him yell at LaFleur during the game. We've seen some, you know, ticky tack comments he has on Pat McAfee, all this. And guys who don't like Rodgers, fans who don't like Rodgers, are going to continue to dislike him. And with everything that was going on, obviously there were some calls for Jordan Love. Well, of course, this week, and this was on Sunday morning, this motherfucker, this guy, MJ Hurley on Twitter, the fakest beat reporter out there. If you put in your Twitter bio that you're a credentialed reporter, you are not a legit reporter. You don't see Jason Wilde, Tom Silverstein, all these other guys, Adam Schefter, put like credentialed beat reporter in their bio. Anyways, so Sunday morning, this tweet popped off a little bit. From MJ Hurley saying, I was told this morning that if it were up to certain members of the Packers offensive line, Jordan Love would be the starting quarterback today against the Dallas Cowboys. He had a stupid little blog about this too, where literally the first four paragraphs was just building up how the season has gone.
How do you even find these people?
People were posting, reposting this on Twitter. They're retweeting it and shit. The people who don't like Aaron Rodgers, some people in Packers Twitter who wanted to see Jordan Love, those kind of people. So, and this is part of the story that, what's his name, MJ, whatever the fuck it is. So this is part of the story, part of his report. Unfortunately, the Packers locker room does not feel the inspiration from their captain. Players in the offense are displeased with the play calling, some of the checks at the line of scrimmage, and the way Rodgers, quote, scapegoats the wide receiver room, which can be led back to playing time comments made on the Pat McAfee show. Ultimately, if it were up to a few players in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers would not be the starting quarterback tomorrow against the Dallas Cowboys. So a lot of people got on this guy. Mostly it was pushback, but other people were pushing it. And of course, the people who already have their own opinions on Rodgers were reposting it. This guy is no one. This guy is me. He saw the clip last week of Elton Jenkins throw his arm up when Rodgers decided to throw the ball instead of running it on a run pass option. You know, there's been some bad mojo going on this year anyways, and the push for Jordan Love. So this guy took it upon himself to report, but, you know, sources report in the tweet and in his little fucking story there to say that this was going on and people would run with it. This motherfucker, he, during this offseason, he had tweeted things that the Packers are in on Odell Beckham, on Julio Jones. He tweeted about the Golden State Warriors and the Athletics during the offseason. Like, he had sources on them. and people are still reposting this shit like he has some type of inside source. So I'll say this.
Did you like backtrack his entire history?
Oh,
and just like, I'm going to fucking rip this guy one.
It is so easy to know when these guys are full of shit. I did a deep dive.
Well, he's credited.
Yeah. He's all that. Like Bukowski last week, Peter Bukowski, the worst fucking snarky piece of shit on Twitter for Packers coverage. Anyways, not a real beat reporter either. He went to Syracuse, but all he has is a podcast. He's not actually on the beat. He's not part of press conferences, all that shit. So anyways, if there is something going on in the Packers locker room and players on that team don't like Aaron Rodgers, do you think this MJ motherfucker is getting an inside scoop? Not Tom Silverstein, not Rob Domofsky, not Adam Schefter, not Ian Rappaport, but this motherfucker who's blogging in like Indiana has got an inside scoop. No, fuck off. And people are asking, who's your source? He's obviously never going to answer that, but all he's doing is taking in information from Twitter, from press conferences, and putting out a, you know, educated guess. That's what these people do, and fuck, do I hate it. I mean, I do it with the stupid podcast. You know, I'm like, you know, Kylan Hill. I tweeted earlier before Matt LaFleur came out. It's like, God, it seems like this might have been a character issue thing. Sure enough, it was. I didn't put sources behind it.
You didn't pretend that you have a direct line to, you know, LaFleur's brother,
yes,
who's your buddy,
yes,
and he told you what's going to happen.
But that's the thing too. You can't pretend that either. It's just, if you're part of the gig, if you're a journalist, you eventually make connections, rather if it's through agents, you hear shit from agents.
Yeah, but you're not, because you're in Minneapolis, Minnesota, yes, and we're nobody in a podcast, yes, and spare room. You don't know what's going on, but yep, you can guess and just know that. And if you have a good guess 8 out of 10 times, people respect it.
Yes,
they'll know what you're saying is true and or likely.
But either way, it shouldn't be guesses. It should be actual reporting.
And but this, you say it's guesses at least.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like this guy too, when he's fucking when you're reporting on multiple leagues and you're just a blogger
and you pretend you have inside info to all of them,
you don't know anything.
Maybe he is certified. My aunt is certified as an angel practitioner.
Andrew's saying that you think it's a joke, but your family we don't need to get
what
into
what if she starts to listen this week.
Angel practitioner. But yes, anyways, with that, that's enough shit talking for the week. I know it's been a bad year. You know, we've had a couple losses here, so I've been a little more angry for Take News. But with that, Andrew, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Is Kyle an idiot?
Yes.
I'm not an idiot. Okay, you sure? Yes.
All right. Is Kyle an idiot for the week? Andrew, you missed it last week. It was kind of fun. I had some actual tough questions.
Billy.
We're breaking down like names for you, like which one of these names is not a Packer, you know?
Yeah.
William, I literally asked him who the backup fullback was in 2005.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah. And he didn't get it right on the first guess, but he did on the second.
Okay, yeah, that's way... We're talking like kindergarten and like college questions here.
Yes. So, with that, Andrew, your first question, you've been terrible this year. Let's go.
Yes.
Which one of these names is not of a former Packer? Okay. So one of these names is not a former Packer. Jerron McMillan, Jim McNulty, Max McGee.
God, you know, you always do some fun stuff. So McNulty, you know, I got to remember The Wire.
It's a great show.
I don't know the first name, but I just know that there's always a correlation to everyone here. So I'm picking the non-Packer.
Yes.
I got to go McNulty.
Yes. Very good. Jerron McMillan was a late round draft pick safety who was bad. Ted Thompson thought he'd be able to fill in for Charles Woodson at safety, but nope, he was really bad. Max McGee was the wide receiver back in the 60s, had the 2 touchdowns in the first Super Bowl while being hungover, should have been the MVP. And yes, Jimmy McNulty is mm-hmm. one of the main characters.
One of the best cops, too.
In The
really,
Wire.
Really good character.
Always by the books, yes. Mm-hmm. Very good. Andrew, you're 1-0 for the
Boom.
Week. Moving on. Andrew, who has more yards on the season, Sammy Watkins or Christian Watson?
God, instinct wants to go Sammy Watkins. I got to go Sammy Watkins.
So Sammy Watkins has 206 receiving yards. Christian Watson has 195 receiving yards. However, I said yards.
Oh, my God.
Christian Watson has 19 rushing yards, bringing it to 214. So he does have more yards on the season than Sammy Watkins. I don't know why you didn't get that.
Oh, that's funny.
Okay, very good, Andrew. You're 1-1.
Uh-huh.
Your last question for the week. Andrew, what quarterback who played for the Titans and won Rookie of the Year was with the Packers in the 2013 training camp. He never played for the Packers. He was just there in training camp. He was very good in college.
But he won Rookie of the Year.
With the Titans.
I'm going to go ahead. Jake Locker.
Ooh, very good guess, Andrew, but no. Your brother would probably be upset with you on this. I don't know if he's still a Texas fan, but Vince Young. Vince Young.
I can see the white and the baby blue. The baby blue.
Of the Titans jersey?
Yes, okay. Yes, with Vince Young in it, okay. Right now.
We're going to move on before you dig deeper.
God. Yeah,
good guess. At least you said someone who's on the Titans. Do you have a Stump Spenny question for me?
I do. Okay. Yes. All right. So, as we know, we just won in overtime.
Yes.
Rodgers was 0-8 in overtime until 2017.
Okay, yeah.
And he beat what team for his first ever overtime victory?
I believe that was the Cincinnati Bengals.
That was the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes.
Congratulations.
I had to think for a little bit.
So it wasn't a gimme. I mean, it was a gimme.
No,
but
it wasn't. I think a lot of fans would know. Well, I don't know. It's tough. That's a very good question because it made me think of the Bengals game. Browns game that we also sneaked by, but I think that was Brett Hundley. I don't know if that was OT. That might have been in the fourth quarter. But either way, I think it was
the Bengals.
God, and I don't remember. That might have been the Devontae Adams catch, or was that Geronimo
that brought
Allison?
Them to 1-8?
Yikes!
Mm-hmm. In overtime,
the Bengals.
No, sorry. That brought the Packers to Aaron. Sorry, that brought Aaron Rodgers' overtime lifetime record to 1-8.
That was a question. Okay, gotcha.
Yes,
very good. So, good question. One. That was fun. Something else is going to be fun. The Green Bay Packers, the preview for next week, are playing the Tennessee Titans.
Yes, they are.
Should be a very fun game. This is a Thursday night football game, so it'll be on Amazon Prime. It will be Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. What is it, like a 7:20 kickoff or something? Should be a very fun game. It is the White Color Rush, which we haven't seen yet this year, so that'll be fun. Once again, it did snow in Green Bay today. I don't know if there's going to be snow on Thursday, but that would be pretty cool.
Are you going to wear all white?
No, actually, for this last game, so I'm very superstitious. Starting to run out. If the Packers lose, I obviously change my outfit for the following week. This week, with the Cowboys being in town, I wore my Al Harris jersey that I got from a garage sale back in the day.
So
that seems to be the trick. I'll be wearing that. But yes, a whiteout game for the Packers this week playing the Titans. Vegas has the Packers as a 3-point favorite.
Which is funny because if we were in Vegas, you know, like we talked about earlier.
Yep.
And at the beginning of the week, they were 5-point dogs.
Yeah.
So then after beating Dallas, that's an 8-point flip. Like crazy.
Quite the flip. And, you know, the Titans are a 6-3 team coming off a W-2, which is kind of impressive that they're calling them even.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. It is a 41-point over under. Like I said, the Titans are 6-3 coming off a 17-10 win against the Broncos. Before that, they lost to the Chiefs by just 3 points. They're kind of what you would guess the Titans would be without diving into it. They are 26th in points per game, 32nd in yards per game, so not a very great offense. They're 19th in yards per rush, only 4.4 yards per carry, even with Derrick Henry. 9th in yards per game, 20th in pass yards per game, and 31st in pass yards per game. So they run the ball pretty good. They're 9th in the league in, like I said, running yards per game. So that's how they move it. On defense, they're 8th in points, only giving up 18.7 per game, 23 in yards per game. They're the number one rush defense in the NFL. They're 3rd in yards per carry, but have given up the least amount of yards. And they are 31st in pass yards per game. The Titans have the least amount of rush attempts against them, so no one even wants to run on this team. That's why so many people pass on them. They have a very active front, as Matt LaFleur said today, a bunch of big guys on the defensive line and their front seven getting to the ball carrier. On offense, Ryan Tannehill is still their quarterback. They've messed around with Malik Willis, the rookie, coming in and out, but he's kind of like, you don't want to say Taysom Hill, but he just kind of comes in and spells Tanny for the most part. And Tannehill has only had 186 attempts on the season. He was banged up a little bit, but still kind of a meh quarterback. Robert Woods is their leading receiver with 266 yards, which, again, for how shitty the Packers season has gone, 266 yards for their leading receiver, that is less than Alan Lazard, Robert Tonyan, and Romeo Dubs for the Green Bay Packers. They have their rookie Treylon Burks, who should play in this game. The rookie out of Arkansas. He was one of the names we were looking at a lot in the draft. A very talented receiver, but he's been banged up a bit. Austin Hooper is their tight end. He's still playing. We'll see if he still has anything left in the tank. And once again, Derrick Henry is still good, averaging 4.6 yards. Defense, not a lot of names to talk about, but obviously still a pretty, you know, at least average defense. They get some pressure. They're middle of the pack in INTs, but they do force one turnover per game, which is top 10 in the NFL. Danico Autry leads the team with 7 sacks. Jeffrey Simmons, Rashad Weaver each have 5.5, and DeMarcus Walker has 3.5. So they have a couple guys up front who cause a lot of pressure. Yeah, should be an interesting game. Another do or die game. I mean, not dead, but if we win this game, I think we'll really be looking good, especially with a Thursday game, having the extra couple days off to have another W to stack and then rest would be cool. Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking forward to going to the game, obviously.
Yes.
But I'm looking forward now, like we talked about, to going to a game that fucking matters.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
It is funny because for how much we paid for these stupid tickets, like it was, I mean, we're, what, 40-yard line? Like, you're, like, row 2 or 3
we're
or something.
We're row 4, and, like, the other group, half of the group is at, like, row 26.
Yeah. And we paid, like, $400 for these tickets.
Well, no, but that's why I got ours different. Because Clark, or sorry, no, someone, wanted to buy 8 of them together, or... Anyway, no, we got ours for $300. Closer.
Yes. Either way, I don't know where I was going for this. Oh, we paid a premium price when we shouldn't have, but at least we're getting more of a premium game because it's so important. Vrabel, their head coach, he's pretty solid too. I wonder if there's... It's kind of funny. We have the Rodgers versus McCarthy last week, and now it's Vrabel versus LaFleur. LaFleur was his offensive coordinator.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Back in the day, I think Kyle Shanahan would be a bigger rival, but Vrabel is a big football guy. I feel like he like bullied or called LaFleur nerd back in the day. It's probably not accurate. That's another, you know, bad reporting versus opinion type deal, but should be a good game. I don't know. I really hate the Titans jerseys more than anything, so that gives me a bad feeling, but I'm looking.
Are they going to wear their blue?
I don't know if that's
white
out.
Are the Packers going to wear white then, right?
Well, the Packers will wear white, which is rare, like we've talked about before.
Yeah.
Usually the away team wears white, but no. The Titans will wear, if rather their grays or probably the blues then.
Cool. It'll be a fun, cool looking.
I don't know if there's a better looking jersey combo than the Packers versus Cowboys, which we had last week, but this will, I don't know. It's different. It's a Thursday night jersey game at least, but Andrew, do you have any other thoughts on this game?
I got my quick shithead sharps bet.
Yes.
And I don't want to touch any Derrick Henry rush yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that's at 99.
So you're looking at player props this
player week? Props this week. Okay. Yeah. Because, you know, Wisconsin, Oneida, they got him. We can just go put him in.
Yes.
8 minutes away from Lambeau, which
there
is cool.
You go. Yes.
But anyway, yeah. So player props. Derrick Henry is like 99 yards. I could go either way. It's about his average, and against RD, you know, you'd like to say the under.
I'd probably take the over. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do like his over on reception yards. They're putting him at 9.5.
Yeah.
And he's averaging. Well, he's got some weeks he gets five catches.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got 3 games this year with over five or more catches.
Yeah.
You know, and he's averaging 2.5, 3. So my point is, I think he's going to receive for over 9.5.
Over 9.5.
I think that's a no brainer.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I've always teased those, the AJ Dillon, like over 9 receiving yards, and that's really bit me in the butt this week.
Yeah.
But okay, that's fine. With that, Andrew, do you have any other thoughts on this game, or do you have your score prediction?
I'm just excited to go. And I do have my score prediction.
Cool.
Yeah. Are you ready for it?
Yeah.
Cool.
That's why I brought it up.
That totally makes sense.
Cool.
Staying true to the spread and what they're expecting, I'm just gonna go for 24-17 pack.
All right. That's a good score. That score makes a lot of sense. I have a very similar score. I have a score of 24-22, the Tennessee Titans beating the Green Bay Packers. I picked the Packers to lose last week. That seemed to work. So I'm going to keep rolling with it. 22, obviously not a number that comes up a lot, but again, a Thursday game, Titans, weird jerseys, defensive team, Packers still kind of figuring out what they are. Maybe we'll get a couple weird plays from weird scores. So
yeah,
that's what I have. Andrew, what is your bold prediction for this game?
My bold prediction is that we hold Derrick Henry to under 50 rushing yards.
Ooh, okay. That's actually a bold prediction for once for you. Mm-hmm. Very good. Okay.
I thought about it.
So my bold prediction, as we've said too many times at this point, we will be at this game. Another game I was at was back in, was it 2016? Yeah, I think it was 2016. The Packers playing the New York Giants in the wild card round.
Oh, man, I remember watching that game.
Randall Cobb had two touchdowns, I believe. One was the Hail Mary at the end of the half. So with him coming back being activated today, which we had not mentioned, so he will play on Thursday, it's looking like, I have Randall Cobb scoring two touchdowns once again.
I would love to see that.
I would too. He seems to be a cool guy. And
do
he's
you put Christian
player.
Watson in a lineup?
For FanDuel?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably. How could you not at
right.
At the,
you gotta.
Yes. But with that, that's all I have for this game. Everyone's favorite part of the episode. If you could please leave a 5-star review, that would be cool, or a 5-star rating, either or. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. That's cool, too. If you want a koozie, email us on pmppodcast@gmail.com or DM us on Twitter, pmppod. You can follow us there as well. And yeah, we'll send you a free koozie. If you give us a review or whatever, take a screenshot, send it to us. Yeah, I don't know. We'll be at the game on
DM us some tailgating recommendations. You know,
we don't need that.
Yeah, we might, just in case.
We're going with Clark.
That's fair. We already have a friend we're going with. Yeah.
Yes. So with that, I do not have anything else. Andrew,
I don't know.
Intelligent Cheers. Being, do you have anything else?
No. Let's see the game.
Perfect.
Go back.
Wow, stirring words from Andrew. With that,
I'm just excited. We leave in like 16 hours.
And I'm going on a tour with Antonio Freeman.
Yes, he wished
tomorrow.
My father a happy birthday, actually.
On Cameo.
Yeah.
Who put that together?
I did.
Okay, that makes sense. Yep. With that, Eric Koskinen, please don't sue us.
Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. 'Cause they ain't working like me down here.
Andrew, hello.
Hi.
Andrew, you are back?
I'm back.
How was Las Vegas?
It was really the first. We were there for three nights. The first two nights were bad. They were fun, but they were bad.
Why is this?
Lost the money.
The money.
The money was lost. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, gambling, perhaps?
On gambling. We did a thing, and it's. I try to be responsible, so I'm like, hey, I'm going to take out X amount of money, and I'm going to spend this money throughout the trip.
No one ever goes back to the ATM.
And, you know, naturally, I'm drinking plenty, and all that money was gone by like 8 p.m. Anyway, we got it all back, and it was bizarre, but also the floor of the casino we were at, and we, mind you, we've been there all weekend. They literally came up to us, and we just looked like hungover pieces of shit. Like,
rightfully so.
Like, we're not like looking like quality humans.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, are you guys professionals? And I thought they were joking. So I kind of raised my like fucking, I'm drinking like Bailey's on the rocks and I had two beers. I'm like, just, you know, like just kind of drinking.
Bailey's on the rocks?
Yeah. It was like 4
Is that
p.m.
a thing people do?
I don't know. I was doing it. It was 4 p.m. and
but
I was like
normal
hungover and I was like, fuck it. This is going to be able to, you know, coat my stomach. This is my thought process like dairy. So
it's thick.
And he's like, are you a professional? And my brother looked over like laughing because he's at the table too. He's like, what? And, you know, knowing me, I'm not anything professional. And he's like, what? And I'm like, what do you mean a professional? He's like, well, you just told that guy that he should play his queen eight suited because he's 63% to hit a flop. I'm like, he's like, how do you know that? And I'm like, or hit a pair on the flop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, because it's just, it's the math. You can look it up online. He's like, I don't know. That seems kind of, you know, I don't know. And he like stood there and watched us for like the next 3 hours.
Oh my God.
I kid you not. And Alexis was getting kind of mad.
Were you playing blackjack?
No, we're playing Ultimate, which is like a carnival game. It'd be like, it's literally like they give you a poker hand and they give the dealer a poker hand and whoever has the best hand wins. There's no like bluffing. Yeah, the guy was just like dumb.
Andrew, what quarterback who played for the Titans and won Rookie of the Year was with the Packers in the 2013 training camp?
Tim Tebow.
Oh, my God. Andrew.